Hey, welcome once again to The Journey Church. I'm Carrick Lee, pastor here at The Journey, New York City. And I want to thank you for joining me today. Those of you here in New York and those of you joining us from our Journey Boca Raton location. I want to thank Pastor Jason for allowing me to drop in on Church Online in Boca. We don't get to do this very often, but when all of our churches together for one Church Online service, I think it's really cool. And we're going to have a good time today because we're continuing our new teaching series called Christmas Carols. And every week during this series, we're looking at a beloved Christmas carol, at the story behind that carol, and then we're exploring the most important spiritual themes from within that Christmas carol. And this is going to help us grow in our faith. It's also a lot of fun. And today, we're going to continue Christmas carols by looking at a very beautiful carol, but one that's often undervalued and underappreciated. Today, we're going to look at O Little Town of Bethlehem. And so if you haven't yet, go ahead and click that button beside the live stream player. Download your message notes so you can take some notes along the way during today's message. Now, while most Christmas carols are sung about just one person, about Jesus Christ, today's Christmas carol is a little bit different because its focus is not primarily on one person, but on one place. And not just any place. This isn't a glamorous or exciting place, but this is a small, inconsequential, forgotten village. The village of Bethlehem. The carol is O Little Town of Bethlehem. And so what is it about this little town that inspired such a beautiful Christmas carol? Well, Philip Brooks, he was a pastor from Philadelphia, wrote this carol after visiting Bethlehem in 1865 on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, Brooks made his way on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, where he attended a really special musical celebration at the Church of the Nativity, where some people believe that Jesus was born. And it was just a short distance. The Church of the Nativity is just a short distance from the hillside where the shepherds would have met the angels and heard the very first Christmas song. And that night, Philip Brooks, the pastor from Philadelphia, wrote of his Christmas Eve journey. He wrote these words: "I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, when the whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise to God, telling each other of the wonderful night of the Savior's birth." You see, on that night, in the small village of Bethlehem, the ordinary town of Bethlehem, Philip Brooks experienced firsthand the power of the words of the Old Testament prophet Micah, who wrote this prophecy 700 years before Jesus was even born. It's the first verse in your notes. I'll put it up on the screen as well. This was written 700 years before Jesus was born. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." You see, Bethlehem was just an ordinary, small, average, little village, inconsequential. Nothing special ever happened there. No one expected anything great to come out of Bethlehem. But on the night that Jesus was born, God chose to do something extraordinary. Listen, maybe today, as you're listening to me, you feel ordinary. Like there's nothing special about your life. Maybe you feel like, you know, your glory days are long gone and they're behind you. And no one expects anything extraordinary to come from you. Well, here's the truth that I want you to know today. And it's a truth at the heart of the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it's the focus of today's message. God uses the ordinary in this world to do the extraordinary. God uses the ordinary in this world to do the extraordinary. And we're going to talk about that today. But first, I want to invite our worship team to come and lead us in this special Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And as they do, I want to encourage you, wherever you're joining us for church online, to sing along with this familiar carol with them. And even if you don't want to sing, pay attention to the words and let them sink in as we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you. town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy darkness shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep the watch of wandering love. A morning stars together sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel, our Lord
So as we begin today, you may be thinking, Carrick, how can God use me, ordinary me? I come from an ordinary family. I have an ordinary job. I have an ordinary education. I make ordinary money. I am ordinary. How can God use ordinary me to do something extraordinary in this world for his extraordinary purposes? Well, here's why. Because everyone, is ordinary when they're compared to God. It's true. We're all ordinary when we're compared to God. You know, a great education is ordinary compared to everything that God knows. Great wealth is ordinary compared to everything that God owns. You may think that you're extraordinary or extraordinary at some things, but compared to God, we might as well just all admit right now that we're ordinary when we're compared to God Almighty. Even people we think of as extraordinary, they're ordinary when compared to God. And so the first truth is, God only uses ordinary people because we're all ordinary when we're compared to him. But the second truth is, when God looks at you, he doesn't see the ordinary limitations that you see. He sees your extraordinary potential. When he looks at you, he doesn't see those ordinary limitations. He sees your extraordinary potential. And that's what God saw in another ordinary boy from Bethlehem 1,000 years before Jesus was born. A young shepherd boy named David. He was the youngest. He was the least important in his entire family. No one expected anything extraordinary out of David. They left him in the fields to tend to the sheep. But God said this about choosing David to be the future king of Israel. In fact, I want you to read this out loud with me. It's there in your notes. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, beginning with the Lord. Wherever you're joining us for church online, read this out loud with me. Are you ready? Go. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Take your pen, underline that first phrase. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. And you need to understand this. You see the world in a certain way. The world sees everyone in a certain way. But God doesn't see things the same way that you do. And that's encouraging because God doesn't see things as they are. He sees things as they could be. God, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your ordinary limitations. He sees your extraordinary potential. Now, I'm not saying that one day you're going to be king or queen, though sometimes God's purposes for your lives, they go beyond what your wildest expectations could be. Now, with that, as we'll see today, being used by God for extraordinary purposes, it sometimes involves the little things in life. Things like being a godly parent and a godly spouse. Things like being willing to point your friends or your coworkers or your classmates to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Things that you may never fully understand the impact of here on earth. But with God, simple things can have an extraordinary impact. So today I want to show you how, even though you're an ordinary person like the rest of us, we're all ordinary, how God wants to use you for his extraordinary purposes. Let me tell you, it's the wildest adventure you'll ever be on. If you will be used by God, he'll take your ordinary life and do something extraordinary with it. So let's look at how he does that. In your notes, how God can use ordinary me for his extraordinary purposes. Here's the first way. Write this in. God can use ordinary me when I am open to be used by him. God can use ordinary me when I am open to be used by him. You know, on that first Christmas night, we find a lot of ordinary. You know, we find ordinary animals. We find ordinary people. There was a carpenter, a teenage girl. There was some shepherds. There was an ordinary manger that was there because there was no room for them. Mary and Joseph, there was no room for them in the ordinary inn. Yet in the middle of the ordinary, God chose to do something extraordinary. Something that involved angels and wise men and prophecy. Something that would be the start of God's plan of salvation for the entire world. But it all started with ordinary people being open to being used by God. You know, one of them was named Mary. And Mary's story begins in Luke chapter 1. We pick up that story. I have it there in your notes. Look at what it says. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now, if you got your pen, circle that word Nazareth. Nazareth. Like Bethlehem, Nazareth was also a small, inconsequential, unimportant, ordinary town. And by the way, Mary was an ordinary teenage girl. She was not a likely candidate for the job for which God had called her to. I mean, she was a poor teenage peasant girl from a nowhere town. No one knew who she was. Yet the angel called her favored woman. Even Mary laughed at that. And then going back to our passage, look at her response back in Luke chapter 1. It says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." And then look at Mary's response. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." This passage tells us a lot about Mary's faith, but it also tells us just as much about God and who God chooses to do his work. You know, the Christmas story and today's carol remind us that God uses not those who have the most to offer, but those who are willing to give themselves to God to be used, who offer themselves. God uses not those who have the most to offer, but those who are willing to offer themselves, those who are most open to being used by Him. Look, maybe right now you feel ordinary, you feel insignificant, just living day by day. Maybe like Mary, you're young and you're starting out. Maybe you're a teenager and you're wondering, you know, do I really have anything to offer God with my life? Maybe you're discouraged by how your life has been going recently. I mean, you feel like, well, my prospects for next year, for 2023, they aren't any better than for this last year. But just like Mary, I want you to understand your worth isn't measured by your wealth. And your usefulness to God isn't hindered by your hometown. And if you'll open yourself up to be used by God, even though you feel ordinary, I promise you, God is ready to use you in extraordinary ways. But you have to be willing to say yes. You have to be willing to say, God, I'm open to however you want to use me. I'm open. Right now, are you willing to pray like Mary? Will you pray, God, I may feel ordinary right now, but God, I open myself up to be used for your extraordinary purposes. As Mary said, pray, God, I am your servant. May everything you have planned for me come to pass. It's a courageous prayer, but would you pray that today? God, I'm open to be used by you. Whatever your plans are for me, may they come to pass. And then God can use you to do extraordinary things. That's where it starts, being open for God to use you. But it's not just about being open. It's about being faithful. And that leads us to the next step for God using ordinary me to do extraordinary things. Here's the second step. God can use ordinary me when I am faithful with the small things He puts before me. Write that in. God can use ordinary me when I am faithful with the small things He puts before me. Now, I've already said this. God wants to use you for His extraordinary purposes. He does. And the way He determines how much He can use you is based on how you handle the seemingly small things in life. Understand this. Before God can use you to do extraordinary things, He's looking at how you handle the ordinary things in life. And Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He says, if you are faithful in the what? In the little things, the ordinary things. If you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. You see, it's being faithful in the little things that's a test as to whether God can trust you with the bigger things, with the extraordinary things in life. And what does it mean to be faithful? Well, it means simply to honor God with what He's already given you, whether it's with a little or with a lot. It's to be consistent. It's to be reliable. It's to be a person of character, a person of patience, a person of perseverance. You don't give up. This is especially challenging. It's especially challenging in the entitlement culture in which we live right now, because we're used to getting what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And we believe we deserve greater things now. Even though we haven't paid the price, even though we haven't been faithful with the smaller things, we think we deserve it now. You know, we aren't used to working for or being patient with anything. Yet Jesus said that's the way to be trusted with more. That's the path to being used in more extraordinary ways by God. Be faithful with the little things now so that you can be trusted with the extraordinary things later on. But if we're honest, that's not what we want. What we really want is the bigger things without the hassle of the little things, right? We just want the blessing without the work. We want the gain without the grind. We want the prize without the pain. We want the perks without the perseverance. That's how we've been trained. But God says, listen, handle well what I've already given you. Then I will trust you with more. So how do you show faithfulness in the smaller things so that you can be trusted with those bigger things, those extraordinary things? Well, first, let me give you a few things here. And as I go through these, I want you to sort of grade yourself on how you're doing in these different areas. First of all, if you want to be faithful in the smaller things so you can be trusted with the extraordinary things, first, be faithful with what you've already committed to do. Keep your word. Don't back out on serving God. Don't back out on commitments that you've made to others. See it through. Do you know that's what character is? Character is simply doing what you said you were going to do. And that's what God says. If you're faithful with that, I can give you more. So be faithful with what you've already committed to do. Be faithful with the influence that God has already given you. Don't just use your influence for yourself, but use your influence to point other people to Jesus and to his purposes. When you do that, God will trust you with even greater influence. And then be faithful with the opportunities that God has already given you. Show up. Work hard. Honor the Lord at whatever you do. And let me tell you, he's going to trust you with even greater opportunities. Be faithful with the money that God has already given you. Be generous. Don't waste or mismanage it. And he'll be willing to entrust you with more. Now, this is God's test for being used for greater things, for extraordinary things. And so let me ask you, how are you handling what God has put in front of you right now? Are you being faithful? You know, I hear people tell me all the time, Carrick, I'm looking for greater things. I'm waiting for those extraordinary things to be a part of. And I'm waiting for those bigger things. And because of that, they won't do the smaller things. They're waiting for big things, but they won't do the smaller things. They say, I'm waiting to be used for a greater purpose. So they're not really being used for any purpose right now. What a waste. What a waste of a life. Listen, here's the secret to being used by God for extraordinary things. Do the ordinary things extraordinarily well for the glory of God. If you want God to use you to do extraordinary things, here's the secret. Do the ordinary things that God has put before you right now. Do the ordinary things extraordinarily well for the glory of God. Do the ordinary things that God put in front of you right now. Colossians 3:23. Look at our next passage. In fact, I want to ask you to read this out loud with me. Are you ready? Beginning with work willingly. Are you ready? Go. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Work willingly at whatever you do, as if you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Let me ask you, what opportunities has God already put in front of you? In your job, in your ministry area here at the Journey Church, in your finances, in your friendships, whatever it is, say, God, you know what? I am going to recommit myself. I'm going to be faithful with the ordinary things you've put before me so that you can see that you can trust me with the extraordinary things. So be open to be used by God. Be faithful in the small things. Then next in your notes, God can use ordinary me when I step out of my comfort zone as he leads. God can use ordinary me when I step out of my comfort zone as he leads. You know, it's impossible to do extraordinary things for God if you never step out of your comfort zone, if you always play it safe, if you never take any risks. You know, if you're never willing to step out of your comfort zone and follow where it is that God is leading you. You know, throughout the Bible, whenever we see God using ordinary people for extraordinary purposes, it always requires them saying yes to going somewhere that they have never been, saying yes to something that challenges them to step beyond where they've ever gone. In Matthew 2, we find the story of the wise men, one of my favorite Christmas stories. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. They traveled a long way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Now, the truth is, we don't know a lot about the wise men. We know they were probably from an area close to modern-day Iraq, and that's where they traveled from. So we know they traveled a really long distance to get there. It was a long journey. We also know that they were probably highly educated and trained astronomers, and so they probably had seen some extraordinary things in their lives. But nothing would compare to the mission that God was leading them on. They had to be willing to step out of their comfort zone if they were going to see what God had for them. I mean, think about it. God asked them to follow a star across a dry and dangerous desert. They had to travel a long way. They had to wander through the streets of a place they had never been to see this extraordinary child who was born in a backwater town called Bethlehem. Now imagine for a moment if the wise men had not been willing to step out of their comfort zone and go. What if they had said, you know what? We have it good anyway. That's a long journey. I'm sure it would be cool, but it seems like too much of an effort. We don't know anybody there. We'll probably end up lost in the desert. So let's just stay home. Let's just stay right where we are. If they hadn't gone, they would have missed out on the extraordinary. You know, we tell their story today because they were willing to leave their comfort zone and follow where God led. How often in life do we miss out on something extraordinary because we aren't willing to step out of our comfort zone and follow God as He leads us? People talk about FOMO. You know what FOMO is, right? The fear of missing out. Let me tell you the one thing that you don't want to miss out on. You don't want to miss out on God's best plan for your life. You don't want to miss out on God's will for your life. Talk about fear of missing out. You don't want to miss out on your purpose for being created. And if you'll step out of your comfort zone, if you'll trust the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience some of the most extraordinary adventures of your life. It may not be what you expect. It may not be what you plan. But it's going to be so impactful. Now, what does this look like for you, stepping out of your comfort zone? Maybe it's something really simple. Maybe the first step is a small step. Maybe if you're here in New York, you step out of your comfort zone and you come to our Rikers Island Volunteer Night this Tuesday. You help us put together all those Christmas presents that we've brought together. We're going to give every inmate at Rikers Island Prison, close to 5,000 inmates, a Christmas present this year. And you can help us prepare that. Meet some people, but step out of your comfort zone and serve and show God's love in a real way. Or maybe if you're at our Boca Raton location, you go to the Christmas Parade Outreach on Wednesday night, and you help hand out bottles of water, and you invite people to come to the Christmas services at Journey Boca. Or to think even bigger, what if you were to decide to go on our South Africa mission trip and work in Hope Schools this coming summer, and you really stepped out of your comfort zone to serve those kids who experience such difficult circumstances? Or maybe you can't physically go on a mission trip, but you can support missions. Here in New York, you can give to the next initiative that we've been talking about today that will support missions. Or if you're in Boca, you can give to the Step Up Special Offering. You see, your simple act can have an extraordinary impact. Or maybe it's even more personal. Maybe it's to invite that friend or that classmate or that coworker. Maybe it's a family member. And you invite them to come to this series, this Christmas series, Christmas Carols, here at The Journey. And God opens their heart. Maybe they meet Jesus for the first time. Or maybe God is calling you to ministry, to full-time ministry in His church. And you've sensed that God is calling you to be a pastor or to work on a church staff. And that's where you need to give your time and energy. I don't know where God is calling you to step out and trust Him. But here's what I do know. If you do step out on faith, it will take your faith to a whole new level. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. What does God promise you if you trust Him, if you step out of your comfort zone and follow Him on faith, if you do what He asks you to do? What is His promise to you? His promise, He says, I'm going to show you the best path to take in life. Will you do that today? I hope so, because it's the path to blessing. It's the path to being used for God's extraordinary purposes. And here's the key to taking that step. In fact, this is the key to taking all the steps we've discussed today. It's your final step. How can God use ordinary me for His extraordinary purposes? God can use ordinary me when I am fully surrendered to His will. Would you write that in? God can use ordinary me when I am fully surrendered to His will. I said earlier, compared to God, we're all ordinary. But listen, that's okay, because God loves to use ordinary people to accomplish His extraordinary purposes. And the key to being used by God for something extraordinary, something beyond the mundane of the everyday life, the key is to surrender yourself fully to God. Tell God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Even if I'm afraid, even if it doesn't make sense to me right now, God, I am fully surrendered to you. That's the decision that Joseph faced. You know, the father of Jesus, he discovered that his fiancée was pregnant and he wasn't the father. And so then he had some choices to make. Would he humiliate her publicly and cast her away? Would he break off the marriage quietly and keep it a secret? Would he marry her and then carry the shame upon himself, the social stigma of being an illegitimate father for the rest of his life? What would he do? In the midst of that decision, an angel appears to Joseph and tells him the extraordinary plan that God has already put into motion. He tells him this plan of saving the world. How would Joseph respond to that? Would he surrender his life and everything that came with it to God's will? And here's what we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Joseph, in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Underline that phrase. Do not be afraid. It's hard enough if an angel's talking to you not to be afraid, but it's hard not to be afraid when the woman you love, your fiance is pregnant, you're not the father, you don't know what's going to happen. Of course he was afraid, but the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You know, the number one reason, do you know the number one reason people miss out on the extraordinary things that God wants to do in their life? The number one reason, fear. F-E-A-R. Fear is the number one reason we miss the extraordinary. You know, are you afraid for God to interrupt your plans and use you? Don't be. If you will move forward in faith against your fears, just like Mary and Joseph did, you're going to see God do extraordinary things in your life. You don't have to be afraid. As the angel said, do not be afraid. Then the passage continues. Going back to the passage. The angel talking to Joseph. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke up, underline this last phrase, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Underline that phrase. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He surrendered himself fully to God's will. Joseph decided to do everything the Lord commanded him, to trust God, to surrender to his will. Even if it wasn't what Joseph wanted, even if it wasn't what Joseph had planned. Listen, God is bigger than your fears. And if you will surrender to his will, if you will do whatever he's telling you to do, whether it's through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit talking to you, through other Christians speaking into your life, if you'll do what God is telling you to do, then no fear will ever stand a chance against you. I promise you that. Fully surrendered obedience to God's will is an unstoppable force that can change the world. It will change the world. One day, a simple shoe salesman named Dwight Moody went to hear a pastor who was speaking in his city. And that pastor said something in that message that struck Moody like a bolt of lightning. Here's what the pastor said that Dwight Moody heard. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a person fully surrendered to him. Let me repeat that. This is what the pastor said. The world is yet to see what God can do with a person fully surrendered to him. And that struck Dwight Moody. And that night, as he prayed, Dwight Moody made a bold decision. He said, by God's grace, I will be that person. I will be that person who is fully surrendered to God. Moody had a fifth grade education. He sold shoes for a living. He wasn't a polished speaker, but on that day, he fully surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And that decision changed his life and the entire world forever. Over 1 million people came to faith in Jesus Christ because of Dwight L. Moody. He built one of the largest churches in Chicago. He carried the gospel all around the world. And he started the Moody Bible Institute to train up other pastors and Christian leaders. His life made an, even though it was unlikely, his life made an extraordinary impact on the world for Jesus, all because he decided to surrender his life fully to God's will. You know, on that night so long ago in the little town of Bethlehem, God started a plan to bring salvation to the entire world. It involved ordinary people in an ordinary town on an ordinary night, but God used them in an extraordinary way, because they were all fully surrendered to him. They all said, I want your will to be done, God, not mine. Will you do that today? Will you surrender to God's extraordinary purpose for your life? I don't know what that will mean for you. Just like Mary and Joseph and even Dwight Moody didn't know what it would mean for them. But their lives still speak to us today, and they say, don't hold back. Open your life to be used by God. Fully surrender to God's will for your life. Now listen, it may mean that you have to take a difficult step and you step outside of your comfort zone where you're not comfortable. But if you will surrender to God's will, I promise you will never regret it. Our final verse is our memory verse. It's part of an extraordinary prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus teaches us to pray. And it's also a prayer of surrender to God's will for our lives. So let's end today by praying this out loud together as an act of surrendering to God's will. Wherever you're joining us for Church Online, would you read this verse with me out loud together and let this be your prayer as well. Are you ready? Beginning with "May your." Are you ready? Go. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may your will be done in my life, in our lives, as it is in heaven. Would you bow your heads with me right now? And let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we pray, we want to say thank you for using ordinary people like us to accomplish your extraordinary purposes. God, today we open up our lives to be used by you. Help us to be faithful with what you've already given us so that we can be used for even greater purposes. God, help us to move forward in faith, even if it means stepping outside of our comfort zone. God, we fully surrender our lives to your best will. Listen, as we pray, maybe you're here and you need to pray one more prayer of surrender because you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins and to give you a fresh start and to give you a home in heaven. And if that's you and you're ready to get right with God today, what better time than during Christmas time? I want you to pray this simple prayer silently in your heart as I pray it out loud. God, I admit that I am a sinner. I'm not perfect and I need your grace. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem and who ultimately died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you from this day forward as a part of your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.